us to sing. Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. And I hope you all are enjoying this show as much as I am. I'll tell you, I have known Al Toppin for quite a few years back to my Pan Am days, and I've actually heard him tell some of these stories before, but hearing him tell and share these stories again just takes you there. I mean, it really does. It puts you right there in the place, in the action with everything taking place. Now, I'm talking with Al Toppin, who was the station manager in Saigon at the time of the fall of Saigon. Back 40 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's been 40 years, though, Al. It really doesn't. So can you take us back to how you actually made that whole evacuation with your employees and their families from Saigon? I mean, this is just fascinating.
Well, I'll tell you. Let me just tell you about the night before departure. Of course, for the last couple of weeks, I was staying at a trailer in a trailer at the airport. I had to moved out of the house downtown. My wife had been sent back. I sent her back to San Francisco about a month or so earlier. And my main purpose for being at the airport was, you know, that's where you need to be in this situation. But the night before, when I couldn't sleep, I'm thinking, I got into this scenario of what if. What if I waited too late? What if the flight crew decides not to come in because things were going nuts in Saigon at that time. Mm. And so I met with our staff the night before and gave them the breakdown of how we're going to leave. And I said, you can't check any baggage, whatever you can get in the flight bag, or whatever you can fit under a seat or the overhead compartment, that's what you're going to have to take. Now, if you can imagine, these folks had never left Vietnam. They're leaving everything behind, and the only thing they're taking is what they could get in a carry-on bag. And they don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're going to live. They don't know anybody in the States, and it was just a lot of trauma. So the day of departure, we had arranged for buses to pick them up downtown and bring them to the airport. And I was at the airport with my, you know, 10 pounds of documents waiting for them at the checkpoint at the airport. And the buses pull up, and I give the documents to the soldiers that are at the checkpoint. Now, if you can imagine, you know, driving into an airport in a bus that's hot, no AC, and you're going on this airplane to the United States, you have no idea what's going to happen. And the troops get on the bus and walk up and down the aisle looking at everyone. And I mean, you could hear a pin drop. Everybody was just like, in, you know, traumatized by this whole thing. Wow. And then they waved us through. And we got on the airport and, you know, loaded up everyone and off we went. But let me just tell you this. Prior to all that, there were a lot of Vietnamese women, especially, that had children by American servicemen, and they're waiting for the father of these children to send them prepaid tickets so they could get out as well. So what they were doing was making reservations on our flight in anticipating getting a prepaid ticket from the States. So the flight that we left on that day, in terms of reservations booking, it was over 1,000. Which meant I was going to stay and make sure the second airplane got out. But once we all got on the plane, all 463, the last thing I did was sent a top priority message to New York and told them to cancel the second flight. Now, of course, from Saigon, the flight was U.S. government charter because the FAA had closed operations to all U.S. carriers due to the hostilities in Saigon. So the flight was redesignated or reassigned as a U.S. government charter between the Philippines and Saigon and back to the Philippines. And that's the only way we could have operated that flight. And when I found out that the FAA had put out that directive, my heart dropped because now what do we do if we can't? We can't get an airplane in here. Suddenly the rooftops look like a possibility. In any event, that was done because there were so many Americans still there. So it was it was appropriate that they could operate that charter.
Now, Al, what was the name of the aircraft that you left out on?
It was called, as you know, all of Pan Am airplanes have names, and this one was called Clipper Unity, which was very appropriate because, let me tell you, we were definitely unified. And the registration number on that airplane was 653, N653PA. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you that many years after that happened, and I happened to be flying on Pan Am somewhere, and I happened to just get on that airplane, and I'm on a 747 going from, let's say, New York to London or Miami to San Francisco, and it happens to be Clipper Unity. And all of a sudden, the whole thing comes alive again, and I'm on this airplane with 200 or 300 other people, and no one else on that plane has any idea that this plane was in Vietnam on April 24th, 1975. And I sit on that plane, and I just kind of, as we disembark, I just kind of give it a little tap on the door that leave, you know, and saying thank you.
Definitely have to thank that aircraft.
Yeah.
And the name is so appropriate. You're right. I mean, because it was all about unity. I mean, the families that were leaving their country,
right,
coming to America, I mean, there was definitely unity there. And just the crew members who were there also working and risking their lives in some cases to come in. But I know a movie was made about this last flight out, and we have about 2 minutes left. So can you quickly just tell me a little bit about, I know 2 minutes,
okay.
Just quickly a little bit about the movie, because I know it featured you, of course, and your heroic act of getting your employees out of there.
Yeah, well, that was just amazing because I was portrayed in the film by James Earl Jones, and they used my real name in the movie, which was kind of staggering for me. I've never had that happen before. But one of the flight attendants, her name was Lisa Yates, who was on that flight. Her husband, John Yates, was a freelance Hollywood producer, and when she told him what had happened, he said, "This needs to be a movie." Mm. And 10 years later, I'm getting phone calls from Martin Cohen, the executive producer, about making a movie, and I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "We don't need any more Vietnam movies because we've had Rambo and The Deer Hunter and all these other ones." He said, "Yeah, Al, but this is different. This has nothing to do with the military. This has to do with just ordinary people, citizens, caught in a zone, in an area that's under attack and about to fall. And something very special happened, and it's more of a civilian experience than a military experience, and that's why we think it should be done." And sure enough, it was done, and it came out on NBC Network. Primary sponsor was AT&T, and it was aired on, it actually was aired on May 25th, I believe it was, in 1990, mm-hmm, on the NBC Network.
And the name of the movie was appropriate too, "The Last Flight Out," which really does describe it. And
exactly.
Al, I mean, I know that you have so many more stories that you could share with us, and I'll have to have you back on because I know there's so many more things that you could talk about just with Pan Am, not only your experience in Vietnam, but some of your other experiences too. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us and with the listeners, and just letting them know just what all happened. Because like you said, there have been so many reports. So it's good to hear your experience.
And by the way, Anita, I'm writing a book about all this, and it's called Flight to Freedom. And I'm on the last chapter now. Hopefully I'll get it done sometime this year.
Well, I hope so, too, and I will look forward to reading it. And certainly the listeners, too, need to pick that up, as well as going to Netflix and see if they can find Last Flight Out and see the movie as well.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Al.
You're quite welcome.
You've been listening to Al Topping, who was the station manager in Saigon at the fall of Saigon. Great, great, great topic. So you guys, I hope you enjoyed as much as me. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We'll be back in a few minutes with more talk here on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Now when you're feeling low and the fish won't bite.